We're going to be in Proverbs 31 for the majority of the message. And as you know, I'm apt to jump around. But that is the main text. Lord Jesus, God in heaven, I ask you, anoint the message, Lord, and that I achieve thy will, God, and be glorified. Amen. If you would, when you get there, go ahead and stand. We'll be reading verse 10. And it says, who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? You may be seated. I noticed that this verse is read often when a good lady dies. They'll read this at her funeral, often preach of it. It was preached at my own grandmother's funeral. And it's a wonderful passage, this passage talking about the virtuous woman and a godly wife. And I'm not a dummy. I know that this does apply to the physical. And it said, who can find one? You can't find. A man can't find one on his own. As a matter of fact, it's got to be given of God. It says, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness to his bones. And then it also says that house and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. That means a prudent wife is from the Lord. That means it's got to come from Him. You can't buy one, or I'd have done went broke. Simple fact of the matter, just the way it is. And it says that whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth the favor of the Lord. It takes His favor. But as I studied on this, and I realized that a man and his wife is the physical repeat of Christ and His church, the spiritual. Nobody's married in heaven. They're not married no more. When a man and wife are one bone and one flesh, that represents what Christ and His church is. So man may not confine the good one. Oh, but my Christ, He looked down through eons of time, and there was none worthy. No, not one. They're all dirty. Oh, but He told the Father that He loved her, and He can make her what He needed her to be. Oh, glory to God. Who can find one? You can't find one. Her price is far above rubies. Oh, but there's a price that way outweighs a ruby. That's the scarlet, precious blood of the Lamb. He can make her worthy. We'll be looking. My thought is simply this. It's who can find a virtuous church? Who can find a virtuous church? If a man and his wife is the same relationship as Christ and His church. Now let's look at that. I believe you can lay this whole passage over the qualities of a church, and it'll let you know whether or not you got a good one. It says over in Ephesians, it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. This is verse 22 of chapter 5, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That's the pattern. It's hard for a man to follow that because we're flesh. I know that. Oh, but God's pattern. He took it with that blood. He paid something beyond. There is no better deal than what He paid. That dowry, He put forth His own precious blood. Says, who can find a virtuous church, for her price is far above rubies. He bought it with His own precious blood. Now let's apply these verses. It says, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Do we spoil what God has given us? I know it's a rough message. And we got a good church. Don't think I'm bashing this church. I wouldn't be here if it was not good. I love my church. But simple fact of the matter is, do we let, it says, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. God's committed things to His precious church. I'm talking, what kind of things are in the church? I'm talking about families trusting that they'll hear good preaching and that their youngins get saved and that their youngins get discipled, so when this world tries to claw at them, they won't get a good hold and that they'll stick to the stuff and they'll stay right. Evidence of that in this church, you better believe it. Not very many pastors will take on the teen class. He wants to make sure that we don't get eat at. We don't get ruined. He wants God, the Father, the Son. He wants to please Jesus. That His precious children aren't spoiled. A good mama won't let her children be spoiled. She won't let nothing get to them. She'll come after anything comes after them. Oh. And then it says, she will do him good and evil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. All the days of a church's life. They're but a few years usually, typically. Some of the oldest churches around here, they're not even 200 years yet, most of them. I don't know of any. But the lifetime of a church, when you look at eternity, is very brief. The lifetime of the church, did it do it good? I'm thankful our church has a godly heritage. I'm glad that the men that built this church, and it's obviously grown time and again until we have this church building we're in now. Praise the Lord for that. It says, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Seeketh wool and flax. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. You say, what does this mean? The wool and flax is the quality of things she works with. She chooses good quality of things to make a product. You realize a church house has a product? We have a product. Every church member is a product. Are they clean and white? Fine linens? Oh. And then it says, she bringeth her food, as the merchant ship, she bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. I had the privilege, oh glory to God, last week I was down there at Cleveland, and I was doing the advanced candidate class, and I was separate all week long by myself. And the last day I was with the new candidates, and there's a man named John Vincent. I ain't had the pleasure of being around him much. Oh, he's a sweetheart of a fella. And he had the next to last subject. And it was daily devotions, the importance of your daily devotions. And he basically just reared back and preached at us. And heaven fell. It got sweet. He said, he was on the text in John chapter 20. When Jesus said, children, have you any meat? And they're out there. He said, I'll have you know that God's got meat for you waiting on the fire. But oh, glory to God. He said, you're supposed to obey Him. And when they pulled in that net full of fish, you realize they had meat for somebody else. He said, you got to get meat for you, and you got to dig and get meat for them. He said, you need to have something to preach. You need to have something to, oh, glory to God, that helps me. I'm here to tell you that she, the virtuous church, I'm talking about good, godly Sunday school teachers that lose sleep so they got something worth presenting, something worth learning. They got meat for their household and for their maidens. Amen. Oh, lose sleep. Concern, I guarantee you, pastor loses some sleep. He talks about when God nudges him in the night and he has to write it down or lose it. Amen. Wakes up the smell of a spiritual steak, he wants y'all to share in it. So he gets up and he writes it down. A preacher that wouldn't study and wouldn't bring fresh stuff, it wouldn't be a good church at all. It's one of the things I miss. Not trying to swell nobody's head, but our preacher digs. He says she bringeth her food from afar. How far do you bring this food? Hey, glory to God, this bread here. It's forever settled in heaven. Shoo, it gets flown in fresh daily, amen. We're talking about fresh bread, amen. Oh, it's food from a far country. Oh, to feed her family, to feed her maidens, it says, she riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens, amen. That'll preach on family devotions too, won't it? You want them babies to grow? They might get milk in Sunday school. Before long, they're going to crave something more than that. You don't keep them on milk. I love it when a young person's been in the Word. I did a youth camp a while back, and I asked Brother Castle where a certain verse was, and this little 8-year-old boy turned to me and said, I don't remember the verse address, but he said, Ephesians 5. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, thank you, son. I'm talking about it'll pay off, amen. Get them used to eating meat. I love sheep with teeth. I ain't talking about a big Joel Osteen smile either. I'm talking about sheep with teeth. Why is that? Because they used to want something better than milk. If you got sheep with teeth that get the meat on their own, if a wolf comes in there, he's dying to get out of the pen. When the church people's in their Bibles, the man up here better be straight. Says she considereth the field and buyeth it, and with the fruit of her hand she planteth the vineyard. Let's read that again. It says, she considereth the field and buyeth it, with the fruit of her hand she planteth the vineyard. This church didn't start out of nothing. Somebody got a burden, and they consider it the field. Oh, they considered this land way back yonder when. I remember I heard tell Papa started Landmark Baptist. He considered a place. He wasn't planning on just doing nothing. He had a plan. He planned on who? The bride and her groom. Oh, glory to God, there's going to be a reception here soon. They considered a field and bought it. They didn't plan on doing nothing with it. They planned on being fruitful. Whatever man tithed and gave to buy this piece of property right here, they wanted it to turn out a good fruit. They had a plan, and I'm proud to say it's been fruitful. Amen. She considers the field and buys it in faith, knowing that hubby's going to help her work it. It's going to turn fruit. Amen. Oh, I heard tell it was before my time. Papa bought the land, dug a basement, built a basement. They had church in that basement for like 5, 6, 7 years. Ed Blue, different ones, having revivals in a basement. Taking on missionaries in a basement. God saw fit to give them walls and a roof, and they got upstairs. In his Bible, he marked when they got to have the first service upstairs. Oh, that's a good church. Consider the field. He'll consider what will be fruitful. To my understanding, we invested. Did we not just help buy land tonight? I didn't know that when I come in here with this. Are we not helping our brother? Are we not helping our brother consider a field and buy it for the hope of being fruitful? That'll be fruit to our town. Amen. Oh. And then it says, she girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. I'm talking about a good church, a good lady. She ain't lazy. She ain't lazy. You'll find that over and over in this passage. Oh, society tells little old girls they got to be princesses, and the man's going to give them everything. That ain't the way this thing works. There's a lot of work involved in any good marriage I've ever seen. On both halves. A lazy bum of a man that won't do nothing ain't no count either. It says, look right here. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. I didn't know what distaff meant. I looked that up. As far as I can tell, that spindle and that distaff, that's the only time both words are in this King James Bible. That's for weaving. That wool and flax she's considering, those were ingredients. She's making a product. She's a weaving. We'll see another verse here in a minute. But she's a working, even in the wee hours. How do you turn out a good product? There's a lot of unseen things in a good product. How do you make good church people? How do you make good godly people? There's a lot of work by people you don't know and ways you don't know. Somebody vacuums because they don't want to look as shabby. Preacher studies That way the Holy Ghost will prick your heart with the right verse. And whatever bad thing, whatever bad quality is in you, whatever blemish, the Holy Ghost will point it out so you can cut it out. And you'll be the finer for the King. That washing of the water by the Word. Oh, glory to God, Miss Eve. Making them biscuits for visitation. Whew, glory to God. Probably saved my life when COVID came out. But there's effort, you see. I know what time we started visitation. I don't know what time she had to get up to make all them. Breakfast for 20 people. If I ever heard somebody complain, I'd punch them right in the mouth. It says, her candle goeth not out by night, you see. It says she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth from her forth her hands to the needy. It is the church's job to take care of the widows and beggars and people of low. It's the church's job. And if you can get them physical needs, start taking care of them spiritual needs. Make sure they're not starving on either count. You might be surprised what God can do if you help somebody. Then the Holy Ghost helps them more than we can help them. It says, this is my favorite verse in this whole thing right here. Well, one of them. I got several. It gets sweeter as it goes. It says, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Oh, glory to God. I kept seeing that and it kept eating at me. I said, what does this mean? What does this mean? Scarlet and purple in your Bible are two separate colors. They do not come from the first same source. Purple comes from a sea snail, a poison gland out of a sea snail. Scarlet comes from a bug on oak trees over there. It's a crimson color, an orangish red. The color of blood, scarlet. And you'll always find scarlet associated with fire / atonement. That's what it means. Oh, glory to God. I looked up the first use of the color scarlet in this whole Bible. It's way back yonder in Genesis chapter 38. Oh, it gets gooder, I promise. It's right here. I like it. And it says in Genesis 38, what happened was Judah, he had a daughter-in-law named Tamar. And old Tamar was promised his at least youngin' to have children with. And that did not come to pass. Judah did not keep his word. And it came to pass that she dressed herself subtle as a harlot. And he went in unto her. And he had an illegitimate child with his daughter-in-law. And she came expecting. And it says in verse 27 of chapter 38, and it came to pass in the time of her travail that, behold, twins were in her womb. You got to remember now, this is the first use of scarlet in your Bible. And it says, and it came to pass when she travailed that the one put out his hand, and the midwife took and bound upon his hand a scarlet thread, saying, this came out first. And it came to pass, as he drew back his hand, that behold, his brother came out, and she said, how hast thou broken forth? This breach be upon thee. Therefore his name was called Phares. And afterward came out his brother that had the scarlet thread upon his hand, and his name was called Zerah. What's the significance of that? Out of their sin, the firstborn was, he stuck his arm out, the first one. He was the product of their sin. Don't feel bad, we're all shaping in iniquity. We're all sinners. He was a product of their sin. He was the firstborn. Stuck that hand out. That midwife tied that scarlet ribbon on there. Oh, glory to God. And then somebody interrupted the program. Oh, Phares was born. Oh, Zerah, I looked his name up. It means like shine as light. And I said, well, that's interesting. And I read further. It ain't exactly what it means. It means white like leprosy. He had a white, he was spotted. He was leprosy. Sin on him. And then Phares came out.
That means to breach, to break forth. Oh, that other one had sin on him. Oh, but Perez interrupted the program and came out. They say, how's that significant? If you turn over to Matthew and then also in Chronicles and go way back. Oh, the line of Perez, the line of the one that broke forth. It was from that precious line. Our darling Jesus was going to come. Oh, we were all shaping in sin and iniquity. But there's one that interrupted the program. There's one that'll keep you from hell. There's one that'll cover your transgressions. There's one that'll make atonement for you. Oh, oh, Scarlet, Scarlet. A couple uses later is in Leviticus. They use scarlet for treating lepers. In the treating of a leper, in chapter 14, it says, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper. You got to remember, leprosy is a type of sin now. And then it says, then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the living bird into the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into an open field. You say, where are you getting at? Where are you getting at? Let's look at that verse again. It says, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. That lady can make linen. That lady can take wool to make linen. Oh, but hubby's got to buy the dye. And then her whole household is dressed in scarlet. What does that mean? That means it says in the time of snow, in the time of winter, in the time of lifelessness. I'm talking about a good church now. Yeah, there's a lot of dead churches out there. We're talking about a time when there ain't much life out there. In the dead of winter, her household, you're going to find it dipped in atonement. They're going to be wrapped in atonement. Her children, her loved ones in a good church, they're going to know about the blood. They're going to be wrapped in atonement. She's not going to let any sin fly in her house. Her young's going to have atonement on them. That does something for me. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. You say, why is there silk and purple? She married to royalty. It's that simple. Purple is royalty. She's married to the king. Listen here, church, if you're born again tonight, you're married to the king. It says, her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Where do you think Jesus is right now? All them elder preachers, all them men of God and ladies of God that loved him. Oh, he's sitting with them right now. He's known among the gates. Oh, she maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. She turns out a fine product through work. And then it says, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. If you work now for the Lord, this ain't no work salvation. But if you labor for Him, you'll be glad you did in a day to come. It says, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in our tongue is the law of kindness. A friendly church is a good church. A kind church. There's more than one kind of kindness, you know. A man that'll rear back and preach on sin because he loves them and do it with love. That's kindness. That's kindness. You're trying your best to keep them from the grave. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Look there. It says, her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Her children arise up and call her blessed. In the old days, a woman was ashamed that she couldn't bear children. This right here says it in a way, guaranteed children, her children. I guarantee you one thing, anybody that's ever saved in a church, even if that church goes sideways 10 different ways, that church is going to be blessed to them. Anybody born to the kingdom of God because of that church, even if it went soft or went sideways, they're still going to be blessed to them. Her children will call her blessed. You see, when it comes to God and His bride, there's no excuse for barrenness when it comes to Jesus. I realize not everybody can have youngins physically, but when it comes to Jesus and His church, there better be some youngins. As a matter of fact, there is no fertility clinic for being born again. There is a cure. God give us the cure. It says in Psalm 126, it says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." What's that mean? That means this seed right here is as potent as it's ever been, and it'll still convict, and it'll still cleanse, and it'll still do the job. So if there ain't no youngins in a relationship with God, it's because there ain't no tears. We'll get contrite-hearted, and we'll care. There'll be youngins. It says, "Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised." I believe you could put, favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a church that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. You got a church that'll stick this old book and not compromise? Fears God more than man? She'll be praised one day. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. There's going to be a day coming. Oh, this thing's happening. Jesus paid the dowry, loved her, said he'd die for her. Can't tell a lie, did die for her. If you'll believe on his name, you'll become the bride of Christ. That Holy Ghost, better than a wedding ring, it'll come in your heart. Oh, and you're his. It's an earnest payment, a down payment, one-third of the Trinity abiding in your soul, saying that one day I'm coming to get you. Oh, glory to God. You realize it ain't a marriage. With a, it's like a loping. One day here soon, there's going to be a shout because the Father said, "Go get her." Oh, glory to God. There's a part of me, I hope the Lord lets me do it. On my wedding day, when the bride's coming, I hope I get to shout. Oh, glory to God. I ain't a stranger to shouting. It don't bother me none. Oh, if God's in it, I'll do it. But he shouted, you see. That's the pattern. One day he's going to come get the church, and he's going to shout, and we're going to sneak off together to the wedding reception. Oh, glory to God. And he's going to take her home. It says that the man that winneth souls is wise. Well, Daniel chapter 12, it says, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament." If you wonder what firmament is, if you was standing on the moon and you looked at the earth, she got a glow about her because she's reflecting the sun. It says right here that they that be wise, he that winneth souls is wise. How do you be wise? Oh, glory to God, you give him as many children as you can. Oh, and you'll be counted wise. They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And it says, "And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." Glory to God, on some glad day, we're going to be able to tell who won souls and who didn't. They're going to have a glow about them if they won a few. If they won a lot, you won't hardly even be able to look at them. They're going to be bright now, but there ain't going to be none as bright as old Daddy, old the Son of God, the groom. Oh, he's going to be brighter than them all. Say, I'm about done, I promise. Let's talk about when he carries her over the threshold, and then we'll be done. In Revelations chapter 21, you want to hear about the bride's house? It says, "And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And it says, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. We're talking about it's 1,500 by 1,500 by 1,500. And that city's going to descend. And that's the home of the bride. Oh, and the Lamb. Oh, and in that city, it's got see-through streets and see-through walls. Why is that important, you say? Because we're a trophy wife. I don't know about you. I don't feel like no trophy. Oh, but when he gets done with that word, that living word that he put in my heart, one glad day, the things that you don't like about me will be gone. The things I don't like about me are going to be gone. Oh, the finished product's going to be beautiful. And he's going to put it in a great big see-through city. Oh, with see-through walls and see-through floors. I'm talking about a trophy bride. I'm talking about one he's going to show off what he bought with his precious blood. Oh, he's going to show her off to the whole world. Oh, glory to the Lamb. I don't feel like no trophy. I'm dirty. Oh, but him, the love of God. Amen. And it already said that we're going to have a glow about us. And them that turn managed righteous is going to shine as the stars. And he's going to shine brighter than it all. And we're living in that see-through city, hanging up in the air. I'm talking about a Holy Ghost disco ball. I'm talking about this thing. It's going to replace the sun and the moon. It's like a great old big chandelier. Oh, to show off the bride. To draw the eye to the bride. Amen. Sounds almost unbelievable, don't it? That's what it says, though. And I believe it. He can't tell a lie. It says in verse 23, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. Oh, glory to God. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Why'd I tell you about the virtuous church? I'm glad that I said I do. I'm glad that I'm his. I'm glad that I belong to a good local church. I'm glad I'm part of that church. And I want to give him as many youngins in that kingdom of God as I can. And you know what? Forever's a long time. But that's one more beautiful place. And I'll be there forever and ever and ever. But you know what? There's some that won't be. And if you're not there, there's only one other place you can be. And it's forever and ever and ever. So what am I telling you? I'm saying, go after sinners. Tell them about your home you got coming. When you go on visitation, you're never alone. You realize that it ain't like you sell in a vacuum. There's one there speaking to them while you're speaking to them. And his voice is louder than yours. And they know he's right. And if they'll say, I do, glory to God. Ain't that good? I'm done, preacher.